block. Again, Marcius Ofer Smith feeds backdoor score! William Karlsson! 3-0 Golden Knights. 5:05 left in the first. Marcius Ofer Smith to Karlsson.
Good morning. 8 o'clock. It is time for Out of Line here on Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. We are here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9, as I just mentioned. And when I say we, I'm not talking about a mouse in my pocket. To my right on your radio dial is Santa Claus herself, the one and only Missy Lynn. What's up, Miss?
What up? How are you?
Okay, hold on. Mag's getting the wheels of steel, all right, and I'm about to mention him next, man. Also here, in all yellow, he is behind your radio dial, or straight in front of us. It would be Chris Magnum Chapman, future Nevada Hall of Fame producer, host, who knows what else by the time he gets there.
I like putting on my resume, Golden Knights locker room reporter. I like that. That has a nice ring to it.
I think we need a business card with that on it.
No. I'm gonna make the boss pay for that one.
No, I'm saying, but I still think you need that one on it.
Because you know when I travel, I have a little thing on my suitcase that I put my business card in, and I think maybe the guys who are throwing my suitcase on the plane that's costing me $75 to check. Maybe they'll take a little extra care of it when they see that little tag that says, oh, this guy works with an NHL team.
There you go. I haven't heard a man say and proudly admit to having a little thing in a long time.
Well,
talk about a guy secure with his manhood.
Oh, there's no doubt. You know what? It's funny.
It's just the motion, right?
Yeah, of course.
Well, you know, that's what they say. It's not the size of the ship. It's the motion of the ocean.
Well, that's said by guys who have small ships.
Well, right. So, exactly right.
Guys who are sailing Hobies and not... I don't know.
You know what I found is guys that say, you know, that joke around about having a small ship usually have a big ship, and the guys that get offended about having a small ship have a small ship.
I don't know why.
I've never ran into this scenario.
And I don't know why you know any of that either.
I don't either. I'm talking
Let's
out my
back
ass
on
right
track.
Now. So anyway. Hey, listen up. Speaking of what's on, getting back on track. First of all, I want to mention our. Social media handles. We got to let them know about them. On Twitter, we got a couple different ones now. The one that's been there forever is at Out of Line 1340 AM. And then, of course, the Facebook page is Out of Line. It's simple. It's OUTTALINE. And listen, without you guys, you know, there's no me. So, and there's no us. So make sure you give us a call. The Fox Sports studio line is 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
Yeah, What's on Tap is pouring out thanks to Bubby's University on South Hualapai between Tropicana and Flamingo. A great place to watch every game. Today, a lot of stuff on tap. Nightcap will start us off, something that you don't want to miss. It leads us right into Blazin', and let me tell you, Nightcap and Blazin' aren't going to be too far from what we're talking about this week, because the Knights are Blazin', so somehow they're going to tie into each other. And fact, this is something that me and Missy can't wait to share with you with what we've got coming up and what's around the corner. And, of course, there's 2 weeks left in the NFL's regular season, and today's full of games with playoff implications. We will hopefully get to some of that. And, of course, we have the NFL picks of the week, our worst week cumulatively of the year, as we went 1-2-1. And guess what? The one was me, and that's my third week in a row that I've won. And I got to brag about that because I have absolutely sucked this year.
Well,
so the fact
yes, you have.
I'm 8-7 now. Yep. 8-7 is not sucking anymore.
No,
I was at one point 5-7.
5-7.
Yeah, and now I'm 8-7. Well, so I'm happy.
Oh. And I got screwed last week because the line was 2.5, and you said, "Oh, in the paper it says it's -3." Well,
is that your Brian voice?
No, I don't really have a Brian voice.
You gotta get a little gravel. You gotta eat some stones, brother.
You gotta eat some stones, brother.
Eat some stones, and you get a little gravel voice. And
I should have won. I should have gotten a W.
Based on what he thought the line was, he won. So let's put it that way. Okay. However, based on the Review Journal Sunday Papers line, which is what I have gone by since the day we started the competition, he tied. He didn't lose.
I used the Westgate.
What is the cliche for tying? You know that what the answer is, right?
Yeah, it's like kissing your sister.
He kissed his sister.
Fortunately, I don't have a sister, so I guess I don't really have to.
Well, You don't have to kiss anyone then.
Yeah, well,
I guess what
I kiss my hand. I guess ties are like kissing your hand.
That's another scary scenario. People name their hands. All right,
I've never heard that.
Do you know these people?
I've heard a lot of people call their hands Rosie. A lot of people do that.
Rosie's like a grandmother's name, so there's no way I'm naming.
Why did people come up with that?
Rosie was the woman in the old Bounty paper towel commercials. Mm-hmm. Remember that quicker picker upper?
That was
Rosie. Yeah.
She was.
So there is zero chance my hand is going to be named after Rosie.
I liked Mr. Whipple better.
Mr. Whipple?
Charmin. Don't you remember Charmin?
Come on. Now Charmin uses the bears.
I can't go on vacation because I don't have Charmin. I like Mr. Whipple. Don't squeeze the Charmin. Remember? That was one of the greatest ad campaigns of all time, along with your Joe Willie and his legs commercials. As a little boy, I used to love Joe Willie. Sitting there with the legs commercial. How is that guy putting on legs?
Why is this show going off the deep end? Now you love Joe Willie Namath putting pantyhose on.
He dressed up as Joe Willie Namath last night.
So every time we're ready to go out,
you were dressed up as Joe Namath last night?
Kind of. This is his backstory. So every time we're going to go out somewhere, he's like, make sure you're warm. You have a coat. It's going to be cold out there. I'm like, okay, Dad, got it. So, he sends me a little bit emojis wearing like winter coats and everything. So I said, I'm leaving the house. I wrote, I'm going to be Broadway Joe when I leave the house. And what I do, I came out with this huge fur.
The big fur around, the fur collar.
The old mink coat.
So I rocked that last night.
She did. And she rocked it well.
Yep,
it was awesome.
Do they still make fur coats? I don't even know.
Yeah.
Well, this was more of a coat with a fur collar.
But it's vintage. It's vintage.
It definitely had the Joe Willie appeal to it. And then we happened to actually see.
We went to the New York.
Yeah, in New York, New York. There's a nice picture of Joe Willie in the sports book. So it was kind of cool. We saw that.
I always liked the idea that Joe Namath was wearing. You never saw Joe Namath in a starter jacket on the sideline, right?
The fur coat, man, and the sunglasses.
The sideburns.
Elton John gaudy sunglasses, big fur coat. How could you not love Joe Willie, man?
Damn, hippie, cut your hair.
Seriously.
Speaking of Mr. Whipple and Rosie, it's like, cut your hair. That quick hair picker rapper.
Some great stuff. Well, listen, What's on Tap is brought to you by Bubby's University, where you can earn a degree in food, draft beer, gaming, and the hard stuff. The only major is a good time. Bring your Rebel ID and your first beer is free. You can enroll 24-hour days. Yes, that means they never close. Bubby's University at 4570 South Hualapai between Tropicana and Flamingo. Go to bubbysuniversity.com for more information. And let's hit it, Bags. Let's start right off with some nightcap. Give me some, brother.
Well, let me get there first.
All right, get there.
Hockey players, as you know, are warriors. They don't give up. They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
You have... Go ahead, play it. Go ahead, play it, play it.
One the other way, to the middle, Oshie, got down low, save with the left pad. Fleury stops Oshie on the right side.
Man, is he something else or what? Marc-Andre Fleury, again last night, completely shuts the door on Alex Ovechkin and teammates, and he gets a shutout against one of the most powerful teams in the National Hockey League the past decade. This guy, just ageless, 33 years old, we were listening while he was out with the concussion that... maybe Malcolm Subban is the guy that they need to put in the pipes right now. And, hey, I love Malcolm Subban. There's nothing against this dude. But do not dethrone Marc-Andre Fleury. He is the king, brother, is he not?
Yeah, he's truly an amazing player. I mean, as a sports fan, I knew who he was before he came to the Golden Knights. Look, three-time Stanley Cup winner. The Pittsburgh Penguins do not, and there's no hesitation when I say this, they do not win the Stanley Cup last year if they don't have Marc-Andre Fleury on their roster. Because when Matt Murray got hurt, it was almost like 1A goalie stepped in and helped them get to the finals. before Murray was able to come back. But, you know, he is so good. And when you go to the practices and you see how competitive he is in practice, I mean, he checked a guy last night. He was playing a puck behind the net in the trapezoid. Player for Washington came in, tried to win the puck, and Fleury checked him into the boards. That's all you need to know. And the funny thing is, he is like the most quiet, mild-mannered, nicest guy. You know, he's always friendly.
Dude, he's OP. I mean, he's great.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely has an aw shucks kind of, you know, when you talk to him. But, you know, he's so humble and he's so nice. And to see how competitive he is when he puts the pads on, it's almost like, you know, he switches a gear. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's like
definitely work zone and like his outside
but
zone.
He is so good and he's so quick and he's so athletic. And, you know, you don't realize, you know, when you're watching a goalie, Marc-Andre Fleury is jacked up. I mean, because I see them in the locker room, you know, he takes the gear off. He's got huge biceps. He's ripped. You know, you would never expect a goalie to be, you know, but.
Well, when you look at his face, like we said that last night, Missy and I were walking out of the locker room bags, and I'm like, you know, just looking at his face sitting there, would you think that this guy is one of the greatest goaltenders in National Hockey League history?
Yeah, I mean, he, number one overall draft pick, gold medal winner, three-time Stanley Cup winner. Look, if there's anything that this guy has not done, I don't know what it is, because his resume is so good. You know, look, I mean, obviously in the history of the NHL, there's guys, you know, Patrick Waugh, you know, Martin Brodeur,
but Fuhrer, I know.
Esposito, you know, but Marc-Andre Fleury is in that next echelon of goaltenders. You know, he's a borderline Hall of Fame goalie, I think. And
Mags, I'm thinking this kid's a Hall of Famer.
He may be a Hall of Famer. I mean, and to think about it, he is the goalie of our NHL franchise. You know, this city. And last night, he was phenomenal. I mean, the team, after they got out to that 3-0 lead, they kind of, I think, took a step back. You know, they didn't give up a goal, but the reason they didn't give up a goal was because of Marc-Andre Fleury last night. He played phenomenal. You know, he's had the Capitals' number for a really long time, and I'll be honest, I don't even recall any significant shifts by Alexander Ovechkin last night. You know, I mean, obviously he was on the ice because he's one of my favorite players in the league and I was looking for him, but he didn't do anything of significance last night.
Chris, it was like watching Pittsburgh. What did Sidney Crosby do?
Yeah.
I mean, it was incredible. I got to ask you, Missy, your first time ever, and here, can you get yourself, I'll get you in the picture here, but it's your first time ever attending, you went to T-Mobile Arena for a concert, but your first time ever being there for a hockey game, experiencing the crowd at T-Mobile Arena for a sporting event.
The energy was just amazing.
Tell me about it. What was it like for your first time seeing the Golden Knights team and some of the things you saw and noticed?
What I see in a case, especially coming from New York, you know, everything's so loud, everyone always says it. I couldn't believe how much it was like home. Everyone was energetic. Everybody was off in their seats, cheering. I mean, the crowd was amazing. And the energy that you could feel there, you know something's going to happen with this team. It's just you feel it through the crowd. You feel it the actual, you know, players on the field. It's everyone all together that's making it into one pot of an amazing, successful team for this season.
No, it really is. And what did you think of the facility itself when we got down into the locker room, the press conference?
Nice.
How cool is the catacombs of
there.
Team? Yeah, catacombs of T-Mobile Arena. Pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
It's hard to take her seriously. She's flashing right now. And not flashing people the way hope for her to be flashing. She's like, her head is flashing. Because if she was flashing the way we hoped it would be flashing, me and Max probably wouldn't be talking as much as we are.
Well, no comments, but yeah. It is an impressive facility.
Well,
I'm
wearing a hat. You got to tell them what I'm doing. I have a hat on my head. Don't leave
you got to go to Facebook Live to see this because we are on Facebook Live. We're not only streaming on the Las Vegas Sports Network right now, and if you get on there, you just click the Fox logo, click Listen Live, but we're also streaming on Facebook Live right now on Missy Lynn's page. I think you shared it with me, so
yes,
I might be streaming
I usually
there.
I usually share it through. So
okay, she's pretty
good
at sharing.
You can go and friend me, and I'll definitely accept you.
And here I'm talking about her with a blinking hat on, and I've got a reindeer on my head. But I'm planning on flying out of here when it's all said and done. So that's the extent of it. But yeah, it was really cool. And, you know, what did you think of Marc-Andre Fleury? The first time you've met this legend, we talked about him up in the press box before we went down there. But now we got to actually meet the guy firsthand.
He was sort of like one of the guys just hanging out in the bar, just a regular dude. He could have just sat there, relaxed, explained everything.
Never would have thought he was a goalie, though, in the NHL.
Never. He looks like an IT guy, sort of, you know? And you're like, oh, yeah, you know, I play for the NHL, right? You know?
Right.
He's like
he looks
that.
Like, you know, and no offense, but he looks like his nickname would be Rat. Right? I mean, if he had a nickname, I mean, he's just a regular guy. I mean, I'm just saying,
you know?
I don't
know regular guys you know are named Rat.
Where are you going with that?
I know.
Well, it's not a bad thing, Mags. I'm not trying to put the guy down. There was a guy in The Last American Virgin, and his name was Rat, and he looked, they called him Rat, and he looked a little bit like Marc-Andre Fleury, and that's where I went with it.
His nickname is Flower.
It's Flower. His last name's Fleury.
Well,
so I would have called him Snowstorm or something, but, you know, I mean, Flower works for me too, but you know
it's working. You know what? It's working. Let's
but Max, I got to show you something that I don't know if you have. You been to Missy's Facebook page in the last day and a half?
Probably not.
Oh, you got to see this. Check this out. Push the button. What she got here with Boomerang? Check out who it is, Mags. Look at this.
Oh, is that William Carlson?
Push the button.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to push the button.
Okay,
no. We're on the air live.
No,
look,
I know, but that's okay. Yeah, I'm going to show you anyways. Check it out.
Yeah, he did a boomerang.
How cool is that?
Hey, I will say this. I talked to William Carlson earlier in the week. And I talked to him a little bit. First of all, William Carlson is just a super cool guy. And what I found out, for those who don't know, William Carlson's from Sweden. Born in Sweden. He played in Columbus last year. He's obviously a phenomenal member of the Golden Knights, an integral part of what they're doing right now. And scored a goal last night. I talked to him earlier in the week, just a lot of non-hockey related stuff. First of all, he thought it was super cool that the fans have started this campaign to get him into the All-Star Game, and he deserves it. He's had a phenomenal season. But we talked a little bit about Sweden, and I found out that the best Christmas gift he ever got was a PlayStation, which he referred to as dope. So that's pretty cool that William Carlson uses the word dope. His favorite player is Zlatan Ibrahimovic, soccer player, of course, and he plays with Manchester United and FIFA. But the other thing I found out about him is IKEA apparently has pretty good Swedish food. I always assumed that it was kind of like a cheesy thing that they did, but I asked him, and he told, because when he asked about what's like a traditional Swedish, you know, Christmas, and they eat herring, and they eat Christmas ham, and, you know, meatballs, he said, and hard bread, and what he said was that him and Oscar Dansk, who is an injured goalie right now, this is the best part, right? Going into last night, Oscar Dansk was the all-time leading shutout leader in Golden Knights history. Well, Marc-Andre Fleury tied him last night.
Yep.
So Oscar Dansk and Marc-Andre Fleury are tied for the all-time lead in Golden Knights shutouts. But William Carlson and Oscar Dansk go to IKEA once a week for lunch. How cool is that?
No, that's way cool.
I talked to Oscar Lindberg, who also is from Sweden, scored a goal last night against Golden Knights, or for the Golden Knights, I should say. And apparently the Glögg, which is a traditional Swedish alcohol that
I want to try that. The Glögg.
Yeah.
That sounds like something you are definitely going to need in your pocket. One of them, the number to Lyft and the number to Uber after you have the Glögg.
Yes.
Right.
Because apparently, from what William told me,
I need a diaper. I got to wear a diaper.
Yeah, when you're drinking the Glögg. But it's like a wine that you heat up and you drink it warm. And he said it will get you hammered. And you know, and so I asked Oscar Lindberg last night. I said, "Oh, you and William both scored goals. You know, you guys gonna be drinking the Glögg? You start at 11." He goes, "Well, tomorrow's Christmas Eve, and you know, the next day's Christmas. So yeah, we will definitely be drinking some." And William's parents actually were just in town, and they brought some from Sweden.
So
they went to go see a Cirque du Soleil show,
sweet.
And it's very cool because my cousins are Swedish, so I have something to talk to these guys about. And one of the things I talked to William about earlier in the year was something called aquavits. And aquavits is like a traditional Swedish vodka, I guess. It's very, very hard. And my cousins brought some back from Sweden a couple years ago, and I decided I was going to drink some. And apparently I'm a lightweight because I was cursing at airplanes flying over my cousin's yard as we're out there. I think the Goodyear blimp flew over and I was yelling, or whatever the one that had Snoopy on it, and I'm yelling expletives.
Someone roofied the Glog, Missy.
Yes.
Someone roofied
no,
the Glog.
No, this was the Aquavits.
Oh, the Aquavits.
But when I talked to William about the Aquavits, what he told me was you have to chant when you drink Aquavits for Midsummer Festival. So I asked him about Christmas, right? He said, oh, well, you know, we drink it during Christmas too, but no chant associated with the Christmas one. That's just let's get hammered. So, but William Carlson, super cool guy. He's really, and he, you know, he told me after the interview he really enjoyed doing it, and you know, because it was not hockey stuff, and
right,
you know, so yeah. I mean, it's always cool because when I go in the locker room after practice, a lot of times it's you know
serious
stuff, but especially after the games, I can't joke around with the guys after the game. But during the week, sometimes I'll like during Thanksgiving, I had some fun with Alex Tuch and Colin Miller, and I mean, it's cool when you get to know these guys personally. It's really like last night I saw Alex Tuch, and first thing he says, he's interviewing me. He's like, hey, how you doing, Chris? You know, and unfortunately I started the recorder a little early, and I got that on, and I'm like, ah, so, but
no, that's awesome, brother. It's really cool. Another guy, as we know, with a great personality and sense of humor, Nate Schmidt
is phenomenal.
Is fun of a guy to talk to. They had him on ESPN last night.
Yeah,
after the game.
I heard that.
Yeah, it was really cool, and he's just great. He's jovial, and I'll tell you what. He'll kick your ass on the ice,
well,
but he's another one of those guys that flips the switch, Mags, when he puts on the skates, doesn't he?
He got it going last night, late third period. They got a little chippy in front of the net, and I asked Nate, I said, hey, you know, that's not really a big part of your game where you're like the chippy guy. You know, you're always smiling, having fun, and I said, you know, what did you say? And he jokes, he says, not safe for work. I can't repeat it. And then he joked around. He goes, no. It was just a little fun stuff, you know, nothing serious, you know, where I was nasty. But Nate Schmidt likes my Star Wars Vans. I was talking to him a few weeks ago. And
well, we're all Star Wars fans.
Yeah, and I was rocking the Star Wars Vans. And Nate Schmidt, he goes, hold on. Before we continue this interview, I got to tell you, those are some cool shoes. And I'm like, man, that's awesome.
The Star Wars
Vans. You know, we had Nate on this show, actually, earlier in right at the end of the summer before the training camp started. And, you know, he told this great story about Hershey's chocolates that when he was in the minors, he played in Hershey. And he got these phenomenal Reese's peanut butter cups that had just come off the assembly line. And they were melting in his hand. They were still so hot. And he's like, it's the best thing. But, yeah, Nate Schmidt's a guy you can have a little fun with. Because one of the things I asked him about was when they went to Minnesota, you know, the homecoming, and they roll out the red carpet, and then I asked him who his favorite wrestler was, because as we know, Minnesota is home to so many great wrestlers, and he's a big Ric Flair guy. So that does not surprise me one bit that Nate Schmidt likes Ric Flair.
No, not at all. You know, the one thing, Chris Wynn is telling us on our Facebook Live, he says, slow down about Marc-Andre Fleury being in the Hall of Fame.
Wait, hold on.
Let me defend it first, then you can say, listen. Chris, I understand statistically is what you're talking about, and that typically is what gets you into the Hall of Fame. You got to take a look at what he's done in the body of work. Listen to what Chris said earlier. 3 Stanley Cups. Last year might have been his greatest work as a backup, coming in when Murray goes down, winning them some crucial games on their way to a 3rd Stanley Cup for him in his career. A gold medal. I mean, this guy is the real deal. And what he is doing this year is definitely going to be taken into consideration. Out with a concussion, missing 30 games, coming back to beat the Penguins, to beat the Capitals, to beat the Lightning. Come on, man. How can you not say this guy is not going to be seriously considered for the Hall of Fame? And I mean, if he retired today.
No, he's good. And, you know, Chris Wynn was a guy who thought that Chris Osgood should have been in the Hall of Fame. So that tells
you. Well, he's a Wings fan. I, you know, Ozzy, you know.
Now to be fair, Nick Wynn did just send me a text that said Nicholas Lindstrom was the best Swedish player in the history of the NHL. And I think that may be hard to argue against, because Nick Lidstrom was a phenomenal player.
You know what's rare, too, to say how good of a player he was in Mags and be the Hall of Famer that Nick Lidstrom was, the great number 5 for the Wings, is this. Usually a defenseman, Mags, when you say they're great, they're physical defensemen, because that's what it is on defense. Nicholas Lidstrom was a finesse defenseman that was still one of the greatest in National Hockey League history. He'll go into the corner and get the puck out, but he's not a guy that's going to drive you into the corner. He was never known to be a big hitter. He had size, but that wasn't his game. His game was finesse, and he could score from the point as good as anybody. Nick Lidstrom, one of the greatest of all time, man. Part of that old, great Russian 5 back when...
Well, he was Swedish.
Well, Swedish. Yeah, you're right. You're right. What am I saying? Nikola. I'm thinking of the Sergei Fedorov days. Matter of fact, we were just talking about him the other night and him dating Anna Kournikova. And I was talking about the Russian Five and how good they were in Detroit. One of the best units, I think, in the history of National Hockey League. As far as when you put five guys on the ice playing together, it was wild watching how well those guys connect. And it was Sergei Fedorov, Kozlov, Konstantinov, Larionov, and one other one.
It was a good team.
They were unbelievable, man.
Yeah, I mean, and they were part of that old Russian Red Army that used to come and tour in the U.S. before the fall of the Soviet
Union. Especially
Fetisov. Yes, Slava Fetisov, fantastic player as well. But, you know,
one of the biggest tragedies in hockey, by the way.
The limo crash.
The limo crash was just unbelievable because I'll tell you right now, Vladimir Konstantinov was on his way to being maybe one of the best players in NHL history as far as on the defensive end. And at 28 years old, when that happened to him, right in the peak of his career and a huge integral part of the first two Red Wings Stanley Cups after all those years of being without one.
Yeah, Golden Knights don't have any Russian players. They obviously had Shipachov earlier in the year, but that's no longer the case. But a lot of really good Russian players came through T-Mobile the last two games because Tampa loaded with Russians. You know, obviously Washington with Ovechkin. They had a few, you know, Russian guys as well. But yeah, I mean, really, really cool to see these guys playing because, I mean, it's like the last three games or last four games with the Golden Knights. I mean, there have been so many great players. I mean, you had Malkin, obviously Crosby. You know, come through Matt Murray, you know, obviously another fantastic player. Tampa loaded, Steve Stamkos.
Oh.
You know, I mean, Kucherov.
Top to bottom. You know, to me, Tampa right now, top to bottom.
Vasilevskiy, maybe the best goalie in the NHL right now. Vasilevskiy.
Yeah.
You know, and then obviously last night, Alexander Ovechkin. I mean, we literally saw.
Mags, when they went to Nashville and beat them in the shootout, I mean, how cool was that? And you're talking about another really good goalie in Pekka Rinne.
Yeah, but the last week and a half, I mean, we've seen two of the very best players in the history of the NHL. I mean, when it's all said and done, I don't know. Now, maybe Ovechkin won't get it because he doesn't have the Stanley Cups, but Sidney Crosby, when it's all said and done, will be one of the probably top five players in the history of the league.
We got to go to break, but did you see how big Alex Ovechkin is?
I was
shocked.
That
guy is a freaking monster. 6'2", 235. When you put the skates on, that's another 4 inches. You're talking about 6'6", 235.
Shakes and squats.
Well, to be as good as he is, that big is what's a rarity. I mean, the guy can fly.
Yeah.
He is truly a freak of nature. He really is.
He really is, and he's, like I said earlier, he's one of my favorite players in the league, and you know, it was nice to see the Golden Knights come away with a win, and hopefully when Alex gets back to Washington and they start playing again, he is able to turn it on, just not against the Golden Knights.
Nope. Hey, listen, we got coming right around the corner, Blazing. You won't want to miss that. We are definitely going to talk some UNLV basketball. We'll hear from Shakur Justin. We'll hear from Javon Mooring. Some pretty cool stuff there as they get ready for conference play starting next Saturday. And, of course, the NFL playoffs, man, right around the corner. My Lions still in it. I'm rocking a Lion. It's an ugly Lion sweater, but we're trying to do a little ugly thing for Christmas today.
I think it's like from 1985, too, I think.
84. Get it correct. 84, brother.
You get that at Gimbel's?
I think Macy's. And I don't even live in New York. Hey, give us a call. It is the number 702-876-1340. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Out of Line, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, home of the Las Vegas Golden Knights.
This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot.
It is that time. Blazing, brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, the 215 at North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. Two happy hours every day. And it is America's favorite place for wings, beer, and sports. Of course, Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 in North Durango, Montecito Crossing Plaza. It is a stone's throw from Centennial Hills Hospital. We are there every Monday night for Monday Night Football, but that ended last week. We are not going to be there for the final Monday night games tomorrow, which is on Christmas. We're kind of taking the day off. We're potentially back at Buffalo Wild Wings live for Super Bowl Sunday morning. We'll let you know about that as that transpires. Right now, what's blazing, man? The guy we were just talking about, the team we were just talking about, a little minor quarrel about whether this guy is going to be in the National Hockey League Hall of Fame one day. I think he will be. We are talking about, again, the great Marc-Andre Fleury. This was after the game last night.
Doing nightcap here with Marc-Andre Fleury. What a way to start off the holiday season with a win like that over the Washington Capitals.
Yeah, for sure. It's been a few games now that we've won at home, right? And it's good. We've got some points out of it, and we can go for during Christmas, enjoy it, you know, relax a bit, have some good food, and get back at it.
The firepower of this Capitals team over the last couple of years has been incredible. Alex Ovechkin, one of the best players in the league, and another shutout in Marc-Andre Fleury's illustrious career. How much does that mean to you, especially a game like this? I know a win is a win, but it's got to be something special when 29 shots and you shut everyone down.
It's good, you know. I've always had a good rivalry with this team, you know, playing for Pittsburgh, and you know, they're a good team, right? And for us, it was a great challenge to see where we're at, and I thought we responded great. And you know, obviously, we had a great start, get some goals, and then I thought the guys did a great job in front of me, right, helping me out, blocking shots and letting me see the puck and stuff, so it's good.
Not just a great start to this game, but this season just keeps getting more magical. It goes on, Marco. What do you say about this team? I mean, the sky seems to be the limit, but what do you attribute the unbelievable chemistry and start that this team has had?
Yeah, you know, I'm definitely happy where we're at right now. You know, proud of these guys, you know, the way they've worked their way into this position, you know, and I think, like you said, the chemistry is great, and everybody's contributing to our success, you know, the way the consistency that we have in our game, and the hard work they bring every night, and you know, I think that's why it makes us a dangerous team.
What about Gerard Gallant? How much does he mean to you, and how important is he to this run into this team?
Yeah, for sure, it's been great. You know, we have a lot of young guys on the team, and Gerard and his staff have been great, you know, teaching and being positive, helping us out, and you know, he always demands hard work and try your best, and he's fair with everybody. You know, so he's been great for us.
Finally, the holidays. Holidays are here. You got a couple of nice days off. What are you going to do for Christmas and for the holidays?
Not sure yet. You know, I'm staying here. My kids, wife, I don't know, enjoy, relax. We'll see.
Thanks, Mark.
Mooring comes out top. Mooring shoots a very long three, and he nails it!
He gets it.
Jovan calmly puts the Rebels up two with 2 minutes to go, 88-86.
88-86. Earlier in the game, and Rebels ended up winning by three, man. It got scary there for a minute. They went down by as many as 8 points. For a minute, Northern Colorado had the ball with the Rebels down 8 points, where they could have gone up 10 or 11, and ULV showing some resiliency. What Marvin Menzies called winning time, and they do play winning time. They have some great camaraderie. I am really impressed with this team more and more every time I've seen them. You've seen them play like three times now, Missy. What do you think of this basketball team? I know basketball is not your favorite sport in the world, but this is pretty exciting stuff, right?
Oh, by far. I mean, just watching these kids play, you could just see how their energy is and everything. I mean, coach is amazing. You could tell what he's doing with the team. They're definitely thriving through a season like they are right now, especially in their division. So I'm having a good time with it.
Mags, this team, record-wise and personnel-wise, is definitely better than almost anyone out there expected to this point in the season. Here we go. We're ready for the conference schedule to get started next week. I know the last couple games, Pacific and, of course, Northern Colorado, have been a little bit scary. We've seen a different side of UNLV to a degree. But I still think on any given night, this team could compete with most teams in the country. And I'm excited to see what happens.
Yeah, certainly the personnel is there. You know, and they already matched last season's win total. You know, only won 11 games all of last season. They're already at 11 right now. We haven't even started conference play. You know, the two games that they lost, they very easily could have won. However, I think, you know, let's be honest. I used to have a coach, and he always used to say, I learn more from a loss than I do from a win about my team. And I think those two losses, while obviously as fans, we don't like to see them lose any games, I think there were teaching moments in both of those games for Coach Menzies to be able to apply to, you know, some of his younger players. You know, and we saw it with Jovan Mooring. You know, he was a guy who you know, I think maybe the end of the Arizona game, he would have liked to have done things differently if he could have, looking back. But, you know, he learned a little bit from that game. And, you know, he hit the big shot Friday night against, I'm going to say, a decent Northern Colorado team. I mean, someone told me that he didn't think they were very good.
They were 9-3 coming into the game.
They beat Wyoming.
Yep.
And I think they're probably the best team in the Big Sky, maybe the second best team. I mean, the Big Sky, of course, not a great conference, but you know, UNLV dismantled Eastern Washington, who plays in the same conference as them. I mean, Eastern Washington was, you know, predicted to do pretty well in that conference. So, you know, I do think that this is a group to be excited about. You know, Shakur Justin is a phenomenal player. I mean, he looks to me, he's got the NBA body. He looks like a guy who will be playing in the NBA at some point. Obviously, Brandon McCoy, you know, he's a guy we were all excited about, five-star recruit, maybe a one-and-done. He played arguably his worst game of the season on Friday night, and yet
He's had two pretty lousy games back-to-back. He didn't play really well against
The Pacific game, they did some things, and he, you know, he had some fouls that I think were extremely frustrating. But, you know, the game Friday night, I just think it was a tight game, and they you know, they learned some things in those two losses that helped them win this tight game. Now, the resume, while it's nice to have 11 wins, I don't know if there's any wins that stand out and say, hey, this is a win against a quality NCAA tournament-level team. And I think, you know, obviously if Coach Menzies knew how good his team was, he probably would have scheduled things a little bit different. But the schedule was made before he got commits from some of these other players that he now has on the roster. So, you know, maybe things would have been different if he knew going into the season when he made the schedule he had these guys. And maybe we'll see a little bit more next year. But hey, you know what? Illinois, it's a name program. They're down, but it's a name program.
Utah.
You know, Utah, again, they're down.
Pac-12.
It's a name program. You know, these were two, you know, Utah was an NCAA tournament team last year.
Before the season started,
Kyle Kuzma is a big one. But I thought that was going to be a loss. Illinois was going to be a loss.
Me too. I was just going to say, both those were marked as L's, as was the Arizona game before the season started. And they played better in all three of those games than I thought they would.
They have three more wins in the non-conference than I thought they were going to. I figured they were going to be about 8-5 going into conference play. You know, I didn't know what we had with this team, but you know, they're a pretty good team, and as you said, there are times when it looks like they could play with any team in the country.
It really does. I'm excited about him. One of the head scratchers for me has been Anthony Smith. I know he's been hurt a little bit, but in this past game, he was dressed and he played all of 3 minutes. No statistics other than one personal foul in the game against Northern Colorado. And I have to figure that he fits into the mix of what Marvin Menzies is trying to do. This kid is unbelievably athletic. He never played high school basketball. To just go straight to college is
amazing.
Anthony Smith is amazing. He's got all kinds of hops, and I just think he's in the doghouse right now. Menzies isn't talking about it at all. I didn't bring it up last game. Somebody told me don't bring up Anthony Smith again because I bring him up every game.
What was the story? You said you knew how they found him.
No. Anthony Smith is just a guy Menzies found. He played in junior college and stuff, and he transferred over here, but he'd never played high school ball. He has had two of the most dynamic slam dunks that I've seen at UNLV in the past 10 years, this year already, and I think this kid's going to be a great addition to the team. I just don't know why he's not seeing the floor more. I'm guessing he's in Marvin Menzies' doghouse. And that's another thing. Marvin Menzies, Chris, you know, the guy without question, and I wanted to bring it up because I've got it somewhere, an old interview with Steve Fisher where he talks about Marvin Menzies' ability to recruit. There is no question this guy can recruit. The question is now going to be how truly good of a coach is Marvin Menzies? And like you said, Mags, based on the body of work this year so far, it's a little scary. I mean, Pacific, they only won that game by 1 point in the second half. And that is a real... This is a team that lost 11 games. They hadn't won a game all year. Granted, whoever schedules for Pacific, I don't care if they don't have any money or not. Man, or not Pacific, I'm thinking of Mississippi Valley State. My God in heaven, 11 straight games to start the season on the road. That's terrible. But either way, we only beat them by 1 point in the second half. That is a little bit concerning. But again, Marvin Menzies, the true test is going to be what he is able to do when the Mountain West schedule starts.
Yeah, and that's really what's going to define you, because let's be honest, this is a one-bid league. I heard some guys saying, oh, you know, you might get two bids. No. There is not. The only marquee win that the Mountain West has was courtesy of San Diego State. They beat Gonzaga the other night, but they lost to Cal. So I don't know if that's good or bad. You know, it's like, look, yeah, it's great you beat Gonzaga, but you lost to Cal. Cal's terrible. So for the Mountain West and for UNLV, whoever is going to come out of this conference is going to have to win the conference tournament. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Unfortunately, we've gotten to the point where the Mountain West is, it's on par with the Sun Belt. It's on par with, you know, the Horizon.
Yeah.
It's dropped. And I'm just going to say that I think that's because of Craig Thompson, but that's my opinion. And, you know, I could do a whole show on why, but I'll just say that something needs to change at the Mountain West Conference in the offices. And, you know, for starters, there's been this push, and it was here when Lon Kruger was coaching UNLV and Steve Fisher. You need to schedule better in the non-conference. You know, Reno went out and they played a tough schedule. Unfortunately for Reno, pretty good team. They lost a game to Texas Tech that they were winning late in the second half. They should have won.
That wasn't their bad loss. Last night sucks for the Mountain West Conference. Chris Wynn actually texted me about it.
That's a backbreaking loss.
If last night didn't make us, put it this way, if what you're saying isn't true and the Mountain West wasn't a one big league, last night a damn non-conference game against the team's best or the conference's preseason best team is a crusher, and that if we weren't a one-bid league, that just made us a one-bid league.
Yeah, look, it's a one-bid league. I mean, there's unfortunately, I love to sit here and say, oh, well, you know, the Mountain West is going to get three or four teams in the NCAA tournament. Not going to happen. UNLV is
Colorado nearly lost last night, too. A last-second heroic shot from about 5 feet inside of half court at the buzzer saved Colorado from losing, which would have been a horrible loss last night.
CSU did lose a lot from last year. I mean, they lost arguably the best conference. Yeah, they lost arguably the best player in the conference. And, you know, I I'm not going to sugarcoat it. The Mountain West Conference is terrible, and it falls on the commissioner to make the conference better. And
it does. But UNLV is exciting. Reno's exciting. Fresno State's exciting.
Exciting doesn't get you bids in March.
I'm not disagreeing.
Winning games out of conference against good teams does.
I agree.
You know, a few years ago, there were five teams from the Mountain West Conference in the NCAA tournament.
Today
we're looking at a 12 to 13 seed. As the one-bid league, it's horrible.
Let me tell you something. If UNLV continues to play real well and they win the Mountain West Conference tournament and you end up with 25 wins and a tournament championship, you're not going to be a 13 seed with UNLV and the talent they have. They would probably be maybe a 6 or 7 seed, but that's way down the road right now. The Mountain West Conference definitely does have a little stench about it, and that stench has been there for a while. Somebody needs to give it a bath in tomato juice and get the skunk smell off of it and get the Mountain West Conference back to where it used to be again. Hey, after the game the other night, I got a chance. I grabbed both Javon Mooring and Shakur Justin and spoke to them after the game, and I love both these guys. These are two of the heroes of UNLV, and they're both going to be integral parts of this team if it is going to make noise in the Mountain West Conference and beyond in 2017. And doesn't that, hold on a second, this happens to me all the flipping time, so hold on 1 second, and we'll get you that interview in 1 second. It's pretty cool. Again, these guys are great.
So, Brett Rippon, how you feeling, man?
Very, very nice win.
So, I guess, for lack of a better word, the non-conference season's over with right now, and you guys are getting ready to finally head into the regular season. Are you guys ready?
This game does not – they were a good team, so they actually prepared us for Boise State and all the conference games. We got some good film, some good learning to do, like, from this game, and I feel like it's going to put us in the right place, in the right position, mentally and physically, to be good in conference.
JoJo, this team right now, you guys have battle-tested. You've played a lot of games. At the beginning of the season, getting ready to come into conference season, being honest, looking at the schedule, did you picture your guys with only two losses at this point?
We actually supposed to have no losses, but I think those losses were good for us as a team, and
I think the game we just played is the perfect game going into conference because they play a lot like the teams we're going to see. You know, just without the size, they space the floor a lot more than the teams we're going to see. But it was definitely a good test for us.
What about rebounding? Something I got to tell you, I'm not used to seeing you guys get out rebounded. That's kind of a surprise for all of us, and I don't think anyone expected it tonight. Does this help you moving forward and you get out rebounded to motivate you guys? Say, hey, that's not going to happen again.
Yeah, it's just, you know, Coach said it. It's just like the little people that's the quickest on rebounds. Big guys, we more aggressive. We take up space, but they know how to slip around, get in the right place at the right time. So going forward down the stretch, we're gonna work on it and practice, and we're just gonna get tougher. And I know I got to do a better job of rebounding.
Jojo, I know you said in there that you know you're not. It's not about you taking it on your shoulders at the end of the game, but you're one of the leaders of this team. And when crunch time comes, you do get the ball in your hand, and I think that's kind of by design. Do you relish that role?
Yeah, I mean, my teammates know I want the ball, but I mean, we have a lot of guys that got a ball in that situation. But me personally, I have no problem having the ball in those situations.
What's it like playing with guys like this fella next to you, Brandon McCoy, some big towers underneath that you know can clean the grass, scrape the skies when they need to, and then you got guys helping you out in the backcourt like Clyborn, Amari, and Jordan Johnson?
I mean, these guys, you know, they take up a lot of space. You know, they keep the defense on their heels at all times. You know, every team knows they can't relax with these guys. They're probably the top two rebounders in the nation. So, I mean, that's huge going into games. And us, we just got to do a better job of helping them out because a lot of times they rebound so good. We think they get it. They're getting it. And then our guy slips in and get it. So it's just little things we have to clean up. And I think we're going to get it done.
This question for both of you, I'll start with you. You can answer it. Shakur, I don't want me to put you on the spot. Define the UNLV Running Rebels right now.
Just a family. That's it. We're all one. No one is out of the family. No one's out of the circle. We love each other. And we play for each other every time.
Same question.
Just a brotherhood, you know. We need to get the city in here, though. I mean, we play our hearts out. I feel like our game should be packed by now, but I mean, hey, I take blame for that last year, if you say, but.
Hey, it's the holidays. I think you guys will pack the back. I wish you the best of luck this year, fellas. Thanks a lot.
So there you have it. That's Javon Mooring and Shakur Justin. Pretty cool stuff. And, hey, the MAC's going to be packed the way they're playing right now. At least to start the season, they keep winning. That place will get full. We see what winning does at T-Mobile Arena. Let's take a quick break. We will come back with Fact This and our NFL Picks of the Week.
Hey, jing-a-dee-jing, it's Dominic the Donkey, jing-a-dee-jing, the Italian Christmas Donkey, la la la, la 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 la. La, la, la,
oh, that's too bad they can't hear it. All right, give me some Fact This.
Hold on, I want to hear a little more Dominic the Donkey.
We don't got time.
Fact This. If you don't like the facts, take your ass back to bed. Fact This.
Fact out of line from behind the Las Vegas sports scene is coming in early 2018. It basically is me and Missy having a great time covering several sporting events in Las Vegas and theoretically bringing anybody who wants to watch with us. This is going to be something that's going to show people exactly what it's like to view games from a media perspective with an all-access pass to see everything from the press box to the locker room. It's cool stuff, Missy, and we are starting that up literally right after the first of the year. We're doing Facebook Live now, but you guys definitely want to check this out. Should be pretty cool, right?
I'm having so much fun doing it. This is a great time.
Yeah, we just got started. She's been proposed to by two mascots. She'll have them all in the bag before we get done. Listen, we got to fly into our NFL pick straight from Fact This because we're out of time. Dewey, I'll tell you straight off the bat, we'll let him go first today. He has taken the Jacksonville Jaguars. I agree with Mags. I don't think they've got a lot to play for, and Jimmy Garoppolo seems to be the man in San Francisco. But Dewey has taken the Jags, given up the 4 points, laying four in San Francisco. Mags, hit me, brother. Hit me.
I'm going Carolina laying 10 to Tampa at home. It's a lot of points, but Tampa's done. Jameis Winston stinks. Carolina's got a lot to play for. A lot of emotion involved for the Panthers. I like Carolina laying the 10.
Okay, Missy, you got a pick for me? Who are you going with? She said New Orleans, right?
I'm going New Orleans. It's right. The Saints, definitely there at home.
Okay, she's going with New Orleans, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, they are laying 5.5 at home. And finally, we're almost out of time. I am just going to throw it out there. I'm going to go with the Chicago Bears. The Browns stink. The Bears are home. 6.5 points. Out of line. Thank everyone today. Mags, Missy, appreciate y'all. We'll see you next week, same time, 8 to 9 a.m. Fox Sports Radio. Bye-bye.